So you heard my dog bark.
Okay, the dog's fine?
Yes, yeah, he wanted to come inside. So.
The dog's not like the dog. Well, so did the dog in Earthbound. He wanted to just stay inside.
Talking to me.
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Okay, welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. This is our second episode on Earthbound, and I am one of your hosts, Kai, and I am joined by two friends of mine. So we have Josh Broccolo from the Backlog Breakdown podcast, or the Backlog Beatdown Facebook
Backyard
group.
Hoedown.
Hoedown. And Wesley Ray from Hinch and Dad podcast, which y'all need to be checking out. I think they're both fantastic, and so y'all want to give a little bit of a breakdown on your podcast.
I like it. Yeah, so
or beat down on them, but I'll, you know, that's fine too.
Not this time. Maybe later. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, Backlog Breakdown is really a podcast about, oh gosh, we enjoy video games, and so we like talking about them, and we like talking about them in from the perspective of knowing that our time is short and playing some of the having the best experiences that we can with video games, and also putting them in their proper place, because sometimes they can run away with us. So kind of all of the above, like live your life well and play good games. So that's my real job,
basically.
You know. Yeah, exactly. You should put that on the billboard. I'm the billboard guy.
And I am Wes. I am the Hench and Dad, and I talk about spandex wearing superheroes who fight rubber monsters, and we try to envision the final collapse of capitalism. So that's my show, basically.
Don't worry, I can definitely envision that. Okay, so we're jumping back into Earthbound, but today, instead of just saying all the things that we like about the game, and we are going to talk about an actual plot point. So this is exciting.
You have to do actual work now?
Somewhat.
Okay.
But at least y'all do. That's why I brought you. I didn't do any research. So yeah, this is going to be spoiler filled. So if you have not played Earthbound, the game is well over 20 years old, and so I don't know what the problem is. But we are going to be talking about the end of the game, about Gygas or Gigas, and we will pronounce it in various ways throughout. What?
Guess.
Well, actually, you know what? If I can make a little comment here, I think it's great that we don't know how to pronounce his name, that the name doesn't make any sense, because it's everything he does just doesn't make sense. Nothing he does makes sense. That's probably a better way to put it.
Right.
While that is true, however, if you look at the Earthbound Wikipedia, well, actually, moment here, if you look at the katakana for his name in Japanese, it is actually pronounced Gigu. Gigu. So I suggest that we just pronounce it as Gigu for the next hour or so. Gigu.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I appreciate the effort.
Is that why people say that he's a baby?
Oh man, I think you've just blown this theory out of the water right now.
Right, we are breaking new ground here on the zoo. Oh gosh. The end is the whole character of Gigu is mysterious and not easily understood, and therefore the entire ending of the game, the whole last battle, is not something that's ridiculously clear as to what exactly is happening. And I think that's totally on purpose, but that also gives us the opportunity to figure it out for you, and that way you don't have to think when you play your video games.
I can't even grasp the true form of Gigu's attack.
Oh, that, you know, and that's actually one of my favorite things about him, because there's like this very Lovecraftian aspect of him. That first of all, you know, you know the last battle, when you finally get to him, when he opens up, the battle screen itself opens up, and it's not a thing that's in the middle of your screen anymore. It's the screen that you're fighting. It's the whole thing. Yeah. And so you can't understand its form. And then when it attacks you, the screen tells you, it's like, you know, what you just said. You basically don't know what it just did, but it did something and it hurts. It's that very kind of Lovecraftian element that Lovecraft loves so much of you're having an encounter with something that you don't understand. And if you walk away from, you're very changed by it, but you couldn't really explain why. And basically you realize that you've come across something that is very high above you, so much so that it's gibberish to you.
Crafted so lovingly.
Right.
Sorry.
Which would make perfect sense if you're seeing this through the eyes of a child, honestly.
Right.
Well, and so from my experience, I had recently read, around the time, maybe it was right before I played the game, I don't quite remember, I read Stephen King's It. And the ending of that book is very similar. Like, It that you fight, it's not just a spider like in some of the movies. It's a very much a creature without a form. It's an intergalactic creature without a form. Although it may even be a little weirder. I mean, weirder in a different direction. The Earthbound is weird in what I would say is an Eastern direction. So I think there are actually a lot of kind of shonen stories that do the same things that Earthbound does. But anyways, I don't mean to put the cart before the horse.
That's interesting. And King... King pulled a lot of elements from Lovecraft as well, and I think that's like the element of Lovecraft that I just love him for. You know, it's like he kind of changed horror from, you know, the guy in the mask, it might be crazy, or just the ghost that wants something specific, to that force that you're not really sure what's going on, but you're stuck in the middle of it, so you might as well do something about it. You know.
And he also brings out kind of the horror of indifference, which isn't necessarily brought out in Earthbound, but I think that's one of the great things about Lovecraft in general. You have these indifferent deities that can just wipe out things. Anyways.
Right, yes. So I have not played Mother 1. And as previously stated in last episode, I only played Mother 3 until I started crying, and then I put it down. Which was at the end of chapter 1, for those who are keeping track. So, not very far, but those who have played chapter 1 are probably nodding right now, going, yeah, I know where you were. So,
I haven't played it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's all right. So yeah, just very, very briefly, it's like when I finished that chapter and I turned it off and I wasn't able to play for a while, you know, after that. And in a week later, I was still like walking around in like this melancholic daze. And I realized like I can't keep playing this game. That chapter Jeez. Just ripped me apart.
Want to know what the worst thing is?
What?
It only gets worse from there.
Thank gosh.
Yeah. So and it was really sad because the part that I played was some of the best video game, you know, time I've ever spent. And so I really, really, really wanted to keep playing. But that I'll have to save that for another day when I'm more mature or probably, you know, care less about people and things. So
3 months is just too much for me.
But so not having played Mother 1, I've seen a lot of videos that connect, you know, the bad guy in Mother 1 and the bad guy in Mother 2. Are they the same thing?
Basically, from what I understand, they are the same creature. Do you want me to go into like the nitty-gritty that I studied today about
this? Yes. Yes, okay, I do. Perfect. This is why you are here.
Go.
I mean, besides the fact that I like you and it's fun.
Aw, thanks. But anyway, in Mother 1, the creature known as Gigu, as I'm going to call him,
Giggity giggity
is basically an alien.
Who?
Absolutely. Eventually in the future, sometime. He is an alien that is adopted by a woman named Maria and her husband George. And Maria loved Gigu, I guess, as her own child. And George experimented on him, which is not cool. Definitely not cool to, you know, experiment on alien children. And that eventually caused a lot of problems. And he got mad, so he attacked Earth. And George escaped back to Earth. They were on a spaceship or something at this point. So that's kind of what you need to know there. So at the end of Mother 1, or Earthbound Beginnings, you're fighting against him. And very similar to the end of Earthbound, you have only one recourse. You can't like fight him directly. You can't use any of your cool PSI powers against him, basically, or else he will just wipe you out. What you have to do is sing. And you are singing the 8 melodies that you collected throughout the journey. And that eventually like reminds him of the love that Maria showed him as his maternal figure, or his mother. I know, this is heavy-handed. A little bit heavy-handed there. And that causes him to retreat from Earth. And then from what I've been able to...
Wait, just a real quick question. So the song that you sing is not Pollyanna, I Believe in You?
It is.
Oh, it is?
8 Melodies is that song, yeah.
Really? Oh, song. How cool.
Yeah, the Take Melody one? No, that's a different one. I don't know. It's one of the songs that you collect.
I didn't even realize
that. You collect the fragments
that.
Of the songs, and you sing it to him at the end, and you have to sing it however many times, I think 11 different times, and then he escapes. And then from there, he realizes that his big problem was that he had all these latent emotions for her as the maternal figure. And so, as Pokey points out, at the end of Earthbound, he's become the pure embodiment of evil, and that during that course of the end of Earthbound Beginnings and the end of Mother 2 and eventually 10 years in the future and whatnot, he has like stripped himself of all of the emotions and has basically jaded himself and took everything out that made him any kind of like, you know, character or personality, and has just brought on evil upon himself. And so when you are actually praying in order to defeat him at the end of Earthbound, what it's doing is not just taking like the love from just these specific characters, but the love of the thousands of characters that are hearing your prayers, and that's eventually leading to his death, functionally.
Interesting. Very cool. That solves it. So I guess
it's just interesting how much of that is clarified if you actually like went ahead and, you know, played through Earthbound Beginnings and went down the rabbit hole of Reddit and whatnot and really tried to connect all the pieces together. So
right,
but you know, that's just the kind of thing I do.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of like the elements of Gigu that, that I find interesting in the game is just the general, I guess, as the embodiment of evil, his corrupting effect on people. Hmm. And it's like, you see this all the time that, I mean, you know, you have to beat people so that they return to normal and stop, you know, being all goofy, or you have to tame animals by beating them with a stick. But everything you come across has that kind of element of just being a little corrupted, a little bit, you know, a little bit off center. And so, like, when the cops try to beat up a 10-year-old boy, you know, they have a reason in their head as to why they're doing this. You know, they don't seem to realize what they're actually doing until you beat them. Again, beating things with a stick heals the world, which I think we all know. one of the kind of weird things that make the whole ending scope weirder, I guess, is how that is affecting Ness directly, and what role exactly he's playing. And so, if we could, we're going to run through like the sequence real quick of what exactly happens here. And, if we find out from, Jeff's dad, Dr. Andonis, is that, Gigas is attacking us from the past. And so you've got to go back in time to defeat him, but kind of in a reverse Terminator thing. You can't go back in your body. You've got to go back as a robot. And so you do so. You keep the hat, which of course, is my favorite part of that section is that you come out and you're still wearing the hat. It's awesome. But you enter into the past and, go into a section that looks like intestines. And then that's when, what's that?
Pretty much. Pretty gross.
Yeah. And then you reach the end where Pokey has this cool mechanical robot suit on. And you have to fight him. And meanwhile, the thing, I think it's the thing that's actually holding Gigas in at that moment, like forms a Ness head. And when you defeat Pokey, Gigas in full is released. And that's when the battle screen actually opens up and you start fighting the background itself. Now, when I say opens up, I remember this, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I know like the regular battles are in this kind of interesting letterbox thing where there's a black bar on the top and bottom. But I think even those are removed, aren't they?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. so like you're fighting in a battle scene that's much bigger than you're used to. And the entire background is just static and these weird kind of red, orange, yellow, disturbing images that are just flashing and dancing around the screen. And that's, you know, when we get to the parts where you're not even comprehending it. And that's when Paula begins, you know, if you know what you're doing, we'll begin to pray, because if you try to attack it, that's not going to get you very far. And you have to pray several times. And every time you pray, like another people you have met along the way, like suddenly start thinking about you and they gather together and I don't know, sing songs or probably sing I Believe in You, which I won't play because that makes some of the fans angry. when I do stuff like that, I do adore that song. I don't know why. But this has a cumulative effect of just starting to just tear HP off of it. And, it's communicating with you, but in very cryptic ways. And then your prayers just start getting lost in darkness, which is just really one of the coolest moments where you're doing this thing and it's working. And then all of a sudden it's not working and it's just, your prayers are going to nothing and they're just being swallowed. You're so far in darkness, they're being swallowed up. And it's like this really terrifying moment that really, I mean, especially the first time I played, just was like really drawing me in. And, I don't know if y'all had this effect, but I did not remember that I had entered my name into this game. And I did not know what was going to happen at the end. And so when the game called me by name and said, "Hey, we need you to pray," essentially, it freaked me out. and it's like this really neat, it's really neat idea of, you know, it's no longer me pressing the button to make Ness do something. It's me casting the final blow. And I think that was a really neat element to it. And so when, you essentially, with that, you are victorious. You can go talk to everybody and most people are saying something different, to you. You can go wherever you want in the game, and talk to whoever. And then you go back home. And the guy who's been taking pictures the entire time it gives you the photo album. And then if you listen really closely, you can hear the game's creator in the soundtrack saying, "I miss you," which I think is a really, really cool element to it. So did I miss something in there?
I think that pretty much covered it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even, you know, even knowing like some of the Mother One history, something that should be missing, we mentioned in the last episode when Ness earlier in the game is kind of unlocking his power in this dream state, he has to fight the evil within himself. And I've always kind of thought that was tied to the image of him at the end. The other thing that should be mentioned is as I understand it, Itoi has kind of denied this aspect of it, but it seems pretty clear that in the patterns that in the background that are swirling around, if you pause it, there seems to be a very clear silhouette of a fetus in there, and one of the kind of almost an image that, you know, would, you know, suggest like a demon or something within it. And that has led a lot of people to speculate that in the end, you are actually killing him as a fetus. Or that, you know, this is actually when Ness is a fetus and Gigas is trying to corrupt him from even that point. And so the speculation grows. So y'all can explain to me why Ness's image is in there.
Well, when I was playing it, I really only took that as like it was a mirror image because it was like glass, basically, if that makes sense. So I didn't really find much more meaning in it.
So, all of that reading into it that I just did, and you're just tossing it all away and doing a sensible answer. That's fine.
Here's where I will go, though, is that the way that Gigu has attacked the world, because, you know, at the beginning of the game, Buzz comes. He's like, "Dude, you got to save the world because this menace is coming and he's going to destroy the world." And then you go on this adventure and you find that the traces of Gigu throughout the world are the statues, the Mani Mani statues, that are these strange idols that cause people to become worse, you know, to become terrible people.
Yeah.
So that, I think if you kind of follow that thread, then the way that Gigas is going to destroy the world is by corrupting all of humanity. Rather than coming and just like destroying everything, he's actually come to corrupt everyone on Earth so that Earth effectively destroys itself, which I think makes sense with kind of the interpretation of Mother One that says that Gigas was raised by a human and then he was beaten back by the humans. And so now he's come to take revenge by like not just wiping out humanity, but like causing humanity. Like he really wants revenge. He wants his revengeance, and he will cause humanity to turn in on itself and completely destroy the planet. So then the flip side of that with the battle against Gigu at the very end is that you need the power of everyone, all of the friends that you met along the way. That's really what it's about. Not the destination. So the very thing that Gygax was attempting to do throughout the world, to use humanity to destroy itself, you're flipping by destroying the pride of humanity through these statues that cause you to be horrible people, and by giving up your own kind of self pride, I guess, like giving up yourself for the greater good and becoming a part of this mass collective of humanity. And that's what ends up destroying Gygax.
The real quest against Gygax is the friends we made along the way.
What? Yeah. Friendship is magic, right?
Right, exactly.
And that whole thing, like when you bring up that part about like stripping yourself away and your pride and whatnot, like that was telegraphed definitely by Pooh way earlier on when he has to go through all those different trials.
Lots of stuff is telegraphed by Pooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the stripping yourself down of your human body in order to get into this robot body, you know, sacrificing everything about yourself in order for to protect the greater good. And a lot of that is just, it's just really nice how it wraps up all together like that. It's just got many, many layers.
Yeah. And even the seeming random stuff that, you know, like the first time you get in, you become a robot, you're like, y'all just had some cool robot sprites that you wanted to use, didn't you? What does this have to do? But it does. It ties into that. And that's, the quirky stuff at the beginning of the game where like you're not when you beat up these biker gang members, or not really biker gang, but skateboard gang members.
New age retro hippies.
Right. You're not killing them. You know, that your influence or the influence of the Louisville Slugger is returning them back to normal. But that's important because they are needed. They're needed at the end.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. You know, it's like, oh gosh, what's that kid? This kid cracks me up. It's, what's the name of the third town?
Threed.
Is it just Threed?
Threed.
Yeah. Okay. So the kid in the Jason mask in that town is like, you know, bragging about, I think he was one that like kidnapped Paula and stuff, and you know, you come back later and everything's right. He's like, I quit all doing that bad stuff. I'm sorry, you know.
My bad, dude. My bad.
Yeah. But you can keep coming back to him, and as the game progresses, you know, he seems more friendly, and even at the very end, he's one of the people I talked to afterwards, and he was like, "Oh, that's great! Yeah, you won! Yay!" But you need these people, all these people that you've influenced along the way, because otherwise, you know, that you need that power of love that makes the world turn round in order to win.
It's true. You have to go back to the future, or back to the past, for the power of
the
love.
Curious thing, yeah.
Or it's just a demon baby. That might be what it is too.
Yeah. Well, it is cool. I love the thread that Gygax plays, because you know it's like you have like, you know, the truly great RPG villain of all time, who of course is Kefka. There's no argument on that. Don't try to argue with me. But
yeah.
He becomes like this almost demon thing, but he uses it to blow up stuff. Whereas Gigu's like influences is so much more insidious and so much more subtle of the, of just that, that general corruption. And it, until you get to places that have those statues where you see almost a glimpse of the end of what's going to be the end result of, you know, people kidnapping, 12-year-old girls, to put them in cages and, quote unquote, marry them, or, you know, towns becoming completely corrupt with, people gaining the power of the statue and just lording it over everyone. And this is kind of where things are headed. And I think that's a much more what I consider an actual demonic approach to things, rather than, you know, using a giant laser to blow up stuff, which is still cool. It's probably what I would do as a supervillain.
I like it. I think we just completely explained all of Mother.
I thought that was going to take longer.
One thing I wanted to touch on, like, before, you know, we end that, is that mechanically speaking, like you were saying, you are basically bashing everybody in the head with a baseball bat throughout the entire game, and that's like what you learn to do until you learn all your cool, like, magic tricks and whatnot in order to, you know, destroy them from the inside out and burn them alive. However, none of that actually works against, like, Gigas in any way, shape, or form. And right. So it's like all these things that you've learned to do, your immediate responses is to, you match violence, evil with violence and whatnot, and none of that actually works. And it just sets up this, like, really, like, hopeless feeling by the end where, like, your only resort is to pray at that point. So
yeah, which is a power that you've neglected during the game because it kind of
completely
sucks.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, that whole last battle is so interesting to me because it just goes, you know, it turns around all the tropes that the game's been making fun of this entire time, you know, and turns it around, and does things that are just very, very unexpected. And I think just in general, this is one of certainly one of the most interesting boss battles I've seen, but just also one that just demands your attention, that draws you in, that really seeks to make you, the player, a part of this, to feel the despair of something you can't understand attacking you, to feel the despair of your prayers not doing anything, and then finally that prayer reaching through, you know, through the Super Nintendo, through the cable to the controller, and saying, you know, it's like, no, you have to finish this. You have to finish this for us because we can't do it by ourselves. It's really interesting, and it made me feel like a part of the game more than any other, certainly any other game of the era. And I don't want to say of all time because I don't play modern games, but. Certainly, more personal than pretty much any other boss fight I've fought.
Good. I dig it.
Not only that, but didactically speaking, seminal evidence seems to explicate the fact that your repudiation of entropy supports my theory of space-time synthesis. Of this, I am irrefutably confident.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, about two mothers can't make sense, right? Doesn't work that way.
That's not a topic that we're going to discuss on this particular show at this particular time.
That's how you end up with a demon baby.
Thanks.
Oh goodness.
What Itoy was trying to say.
I'm gonna take your word on that.
And then having three mothers is just tragedy.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
this is just really proto-Evangelion, right?
I'm gonna go think about Mother 3 now and cry. And
you have to play it though; it's so good.
It is so good.
Threads that we're talking about, I'm like, oh, I can add something. Oh no, this is a spoiler. I can't tell you.
Go ahead and spoil. I have read the plot of Mother 3, and so by all means, throw something in.
Only if it's okay with Josh, I'm not gonna just throw things out there.
Oh no, I mean it's fine. It's whatever.
Okay. I mean, the whole thing with Pokey, especially, like, you really, like, feel empathy for this character, because at the end of the game, I don't know if you know, but he's basically, like, the big bad who has lived for thousands upon thousands of years, and yet he's basically stayed in this, like, childlike mindset all of his life. And there's this really cool scene when you're trying to go up to his, like, tower and everything and finally meet him, and you're taking this, like, submarine through there, or this boat, I can't even remember, it's been a couple months, but you actually go and see many of the key items from Earthbound in this little museum that he's set up, this little shrine. So you see, like, the yellow submarine, the dungeon man and everything, and it's just really interesting, man, like, how nostalgic he is for that time period, and how he, like, longs to have been Ness's friend, but because of the, you know, tragedy that his character basically is, and how he's basically, like, another form of Gigas, but human, not alien. It's just really, like, interesting stuff when you see him all three games as a whole. Like, you can really see this thread running through, even from the very beginning, of family and love and showing empathy to people, like, all the way to the end there. And then his real tragedy is that he gets stuck in this machine at the end of the game. He gets himself stuck in the machine, I should say, that you can't get out of, but nobody can get into. So he's basically, like, immortal, and he's in isolation for the rest of his existence, whatever that means for an immortal character. And nobody can get in. He can't get out. He can't have any contact with the outside world. He's basically just stuck in this tiny little machine forever. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy, crazy stuff for a kid's game, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that is one of the things we talked about last episode is that the, you know, and they don't hide it nearly as much in Mother 3, but, you know, a lot of the darkness gets masked by this, you know, kind of goofiness, that is the game. Mother 3 does not hide it at all. I think we can take this away from the entire Mother series, is that bad parenting brings about demons and the end of the world.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that wraps it up.
I mean, you know, it's like, and it's one of the one running gag. Pokey's parents in Earthbound is one of the running gags, but I mean, you know, the end of that family is so disturbing, where, you know, you essentially have the father who's run out for more power and money, and the mother just is openly has her boyfriend just staying in the house now. And, it's, and of course Pokey's nowhere to be found and no one cares. It's really disturbing. And, Pokey gets the last word of the game, where he leaves a letter for Ness, you know, basically saying, "You haven't seen the last of me. I'll get you and your little dog too." And it's a very goofy letter that is concluded with spangity, spangity, spangity. But, you know, it's that thing that the whole game has been trying to train you. Do not underestimate Pokey. He's going down a path that's really bad. And, you know, he acts like a joke and he looks like a joke. But once you kind of see him in his final form in this game, at least, you know, your temptation is very much to underestimate him, because he's been a joke for so long, but he's not anymore. And so that last threat is written at, you know, very much a way that you might take it as a joke, but you shouldn't, because the game has been teaching you this kid is really dangerous.
Yeah, and based on Mother 3, that's not even his final form.
I know.
Yes. So I think we can sum it up this way. This is the lesson we learned. Bad parenting stinks.
Bad parenting stinks.
That's true. So take it from someone like Jeff's dad, who talks about, you know, he's always so, Dr. N Donuts, he's so positive about his kid. What's he say? Jeff wets his bed sometimes. But other than that, he's a good boy. You know? Or even Ness's parents, you know, the absentee father and the mom who watches steamy soap operas.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Do either one of you have the actual quote that Dr. Andonis says to Jeff when he's leaving? The first time you meet them, Because, yeah, he comes in and he's like, Jeff, is that you? I haven't seen you in for a long period of time. I forgot what the actual time period is. But then at the end, he says something like, you know, he's like, okay, well, so long, Jeff. I'll probably see you in, you know, another 5 years or something like that. And it's like, you know, again, it was one of those things that's delivered like a joke, but you know, it's like I read that this playthrough, and it's like that's just so heartbreaking. And who was it? Have y'all heard that song? That I'm gonna try to find that song on who did it. Do y'all know that song? That the person on YouTube made of Winters, Brental Floss did it. Do y'all know that?
Mm-mm.
Let me see. It's a great tune, but the whole it's called The Ballad of Jeff, but the whole thing is told from Jeff's point of view, and it's, I mean, first of all, the Winter song is just amazing. It's just so heartbreaking. There's one part in it. He says, and in his dreams, he can fly, a daring genius hero guy with a dad nearby, but he wakes and there's snow. And the north wind blows, and it's cold life. It's a cold little life here in wind. It's just, I mean, the whole character of Jeff is just so heartbreaking, but they have that just goofiness over it that, you know, unless you just stop and think about it, you're just tempted to just pass right over.
Yeah, I think I found this quote. He says, "You're Jeff, my son. It's been maybe 10 years since I last saw you."
Oh, but wow, it was 10. The other quote. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt saying 5.
Basically when he was a baby.
And apparently, I mean, he, you know, just sent off from boarding school and never came back for 10 years is that's kind of insane. Thankfully, Jeff is not turning into a giant space demon.
So they are so both gone. Yeah.
That might, if they ever do Mother 4, which a toy won't, that's going to be the plot. Evil Jeff.
Four mothers is just way too much.
Just a lot of money.
Oh dear.
All right. Well, since we've solved all the world's problems, I think that we can kill it there. Just remember that beating people with bats make them normal again. So if anybody's being hysterical or mean, you know what to do.
That solves everything.
If you're a parent, don't neglect your kid or be mean to your kid. It might turn into a space demon.
Look, don't stand behind me and stare at my hips.
Oh, goodness, that was fun. So, I appreciate y'all being on. Backlog Breakdown and Hench and Club. Dad. Club.
I didn't even notice that. Hench and Dad talking about Mother.
Uh-huh. That doesn't put me in a very good light, though. If I'm the dad, they're all like absentee fathers.
Well, clearly you were paying attention.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. It's through all of your hard work that you're able to give your kid an allowance of 6 figures.
No you joke.
Know, give you know, just racking up his bank account to $500,000 over the course
ATM
of
card when he's like 10.
I did mean to say it's like that is such a brilliant way to handle money. It is a little annoying having to go back to the ATM, but just like that's always been an RPG problem. It's like you go out and you fight wolves and they drop gold.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually make any sense, you know? And this was just such a nice way of like circumventing that. So that, you know, yes, you're getting rewarded for each battle, but it's kind of done underhandedly by just saying, oh no, that's part of your allowance. Here you go. Here's another 100 grand. Let's spend it all in one place.
How many upgrade that bat. Destroy?
You're never gonna beat up that cute UFO with that bat. Get a better bat.
Just don't buy the yo-yo, kid. Don't buy the yo-yo.
or the Casey bat. Did either of you fall for using that one?
No. That thing is so annoying.
Yeah, I tried it a couple times.
Do y'all know that? Do y'all know that poem?
I don't know the poem. I know that it's a reference. I saw that it was a reference, but I didn't
something
know
or other, right?
Yeah, so the poem is great. It's just about this really egotistical baseball player who lets his pride get in the way when he's really needed. His team's like, you know, just a run behind with people on base, and you know he lets the fans get to him and he strikes out, and so that's what that bat does. It's just strike out. Every once in a while, you hit it hard, but that's it.
So it does come in handy when you're grinding for the Sword of Kings, because then you can actually like instant kill some of those Starmen. So that was kind of helpful.
Oh wow!
Oh,
that was
so
pretty much it.
Yeah. So the instant kill goes, goes by your attack power, right?
Yeah, and whatever you have equipped.
Easy.
That's interesting. Yeah, I did not do that this time, and so but next time in a few years, I won't remember actually to do that. And I'll probably do the exact same thing I did this time and go through that dungeon and then come out and go, you know, somewhere around here the Sword of King is. I wonder where it is. Oh, just past it. It's gone now.
Ever.
It's kind of sad. I appreciate y'all being on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for inviting me.
Very cool. And so go. Please do check out both of those podcasts. And we will be back here next week.
The Pickles.
Fuzzy Biggles!
Super Show is brought to you by the Technopunk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Technopunk Boy, on Facebook at the Technopunk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. And once you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.